I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Exclusively Eye Care, Major Team Mortgage, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avior Wealth Management, and Omaha Laser Dentistry. We appreciate their support. Yo, Gloom listeners, it's The Plague, and today I'm talking about getting your finances as fit as your physique. Our very own F3 Omaha brother, Jean-Claude, aka Michael Pfluger at Avior Wealth Management, specializes in building personalized financial plans. He understands the journey you walk in life as a man of faith, safeguarding your family and creating a legacy. Jean-Claude is ready to help you plan your finances with intention so that you can live with purpose. And that's just the beginning when you work with the Avior Wealth team. Visit avior.com/F3. That's AVIOR.com/F3, and see how Michael can guide your financial journey today. Now let's get back to The Gloom.
And we're back. This is always my favorite time of the day when I get to interview a guy. And I've got a special guy today from Sarpy.
Yes.
Was a former PsyQ down at the Sanitarium, which was our first Tuesday site down in Sarpy, if I remember correct. And it may be the only Tuesday site.
Right? We've got a Catamount.
Catamount.
And recently the Tombstone.
Okay. Also. I'm going to get in trouble with some guys. I might have to edit that out, but I got Boss Hog on with us today, and I'm excited to get your story because we've maybe only worked out a few times in The Gloom, right?
Yeah. It's just been a few times. And you know, the few times you've come down to Sarpy, I've always intended to connect with you, but it's like, it's almost like a celebrity sighting when you come down to Sarpy and all the old school Sarpy guys kind of fangirl out the Plague's here. So. Yeah. So I was like, I'll catch him another time.
I was just talking to somebody, you know, I had the opportunity to launch the pit down in Sarpy, and I had no business doing that. Like, I didn't live anywhere close. I think wait time just was like, I got to tell this guy yes, or he's not going to leave me alone. And I don't make it down there very often, but I'm like so confident that the leadership and the guys down there are just continuing to make it thrive that I don't feel that need to like go and check in, or you know, it's more of like a man, I missed out on fellowship and the brotherhood down there. But Sarpy's blown up, man.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, when I joined, Firewalker was leading things in Sarpy, and then you know, passed it off to KOA, and you know, and who else was when I first started? You know, Jean-Claude was heavy in leadership, Duracell, and I've got Trout and Chernobyl and guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, leadership's super strong.
Yeah. And is KOA, do you feel like he's doing better? Normally he's kind of an angry guy running around.
Yeah, KOA is, I know Firewalker's going to hear this, so he needs to know that KOA is a tremendous upgrade.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So
I love it. Well, if you can't tell, we're going to have some fun. So where we'd like to start, just the beginning, right? What's the EH journey like? We'd love to kind of know, you know, as you got into it, what was your initial expression or like impression of the group?
Sure.
And then how did you get the name Boss Hog? Because that's a really cool name.
Yeah, yeah. I got really lucky. So my first post was in August of 22.
Okay.
At Mount Olympus. I live just right across the street from Mount O. I'm gonna kind of jump all over the timeline here, but it started with Shroot in 2021. You know, I think that was about when he had started. Like, hey, you need to come check out this group. And I'd kind of looked into it, and I think this is kind of what gives some guys pause initially is the faith piece, right?
Oh, totally. You
know? Yeah. And I'm like, you know, is this just like Bible study with pushups? What is this? You know, I don't know if this is for me, and kind of blew him off. And then my brother-in-law, we had gone over to he and my sister's house. They were just leading up to their wedding, and you know, he had lost a bunch of weight. And I'm, holy smokes, man, you look great. What's going on? And like, oh, I've been going to this F3 thing, and I knew he would shoot me straight. So yeah. I'm like, hey, you know, tell me more about it. And he's like, it's great. It's just, you know, in two words, normal dudes, you know, we're working out. We pray at the end. And I said, okay. So he got me to Mount O. But I guess jumping even further back, and I didn't realize this until even more recently, had a neighbor, and this would have been in 2020. I don't remember if he used the term F3, but was trying to, he's like, hey, I'm going to go work out early in the morning. Stinson Park will pick you up. And I'm like, hey, I'm not going. Matt Riley was his name. His F3 name was McConaughey. But I don't know. Like when I ask around about him with the Sarpy guys, I don't think a whole lot of guys are familiar with him. But he's since moved. I think he's in Colorado. I haven't spoken to him in years, but that's really where it started. But so I went to Mount Olympus in August of 2022. It was actually Baby Shark's three-year. So he was queuing, and it was hard. But I remember just being more confused. But great experience. We probably had about a dozen guys there, had a good time, and in fact I didn't even tell Shroot that I was going. I mean, it had been months probably since he had up, and then he and I both work at Sarpy County, and I shot him and he, hey, I finally checked out this F3 thing, and he probably was understandably like a little annoyed that I didn't tell him I was going, but you know, but was, I think was more excited than anything. He had happened to be over right across the highway at the danger zone.
Oh yeah.
And so, that's how it started. As far as the name goes, you know, they asked me what I did for work. And at that time I was at a different job with the county. I was the community corrections director. And I think they thought I was running the jail or something. And then, so, you know, somebody made a Dukes of Hazzard reference, which I didn't even understand at the time. And I don't even know what other names got thrown out, but Boss Hog stuff.
Boss Hog.
Yeah. So I got lucky. It's a pretty good name.
Well, it's funny because when you, I was asking you before this, what you do. And that was my first thing was like, do you put people in jail or what do you, you know, what does that entail?
Yeah. So at the time, like with community corrections, we would supervise people who were out as an alternative to being in jail. So sometimes, you know, if they didn't follow court orders, were a part of going back to jail. But
you have to wrangle people up and
No, usually we write reports, and then, you know, the court would issue orders to have them arrested, and law enforcement would do all that. Okay. So no, we didn't have any.
Almost like a parole officer?
Kind of similar. Yeah. Okay. Kind of similar to that, except it's, you know, our work was like on the front end of the criminal justice system. Mm. So that's kind of what that was.
I love it. Well, so your first post was a cinder block site.
Right.
Were you like, what are these guys doing?
No warning that's what it was. you know, guys are, you know, taking bricks out of the back of the trunk of their car. And, you know, somebody had an extra one, and then guys are running in, you know, so I'm like, oh, are we late? Yeah. And it's like, no, those are just my brother-in-law Woodhead. He's like, no, he's just crazy guys that want to work out before we work out. Yeah. So it was great. It was a pretty simple grinder workout. It was real conducive to conversation. So nice. It was nice to get some mumble chatter and meet some guys. Mm-hmm. That was the first workout. And then, you know, after I'd emailed Shroot, he had said, oh, okay, hey, well, I'm going to go to the Sandlot tomorrow. You should come check that out. And he did warn me that it was a running site. But before F3, so I was out of shape when I joined F3, but I had had a history of running where I was just so up and down with it. I mean, where I would, I'd be running half marathons. Like 10 years ago, I ran a full marathon, and then I would just quit. I'd get burned out with it. And so that's kind of where I was at. And the Sandlot was rough. I struggled with it. So I went from, you know, cinder block workout it's kind of like the opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of what we do. Yeah. Right. So,
it, you know, it's amazing because we have a wide variety, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're coming in as an FNG and you don't really know, like, what does boot camp mean versus a specialty running, you could easily get hammered pretty quick. Like your first couple of days, it sounds like you did. What So take me back. So you were running. Did you play sports in high school, or was fitness kind of always a part, or how'd you get into running to begin?
You know, I didn't get into running until probably my late 20s. I played football in high school and then for a year in college. And then my wife and I kind of started running, you know, just some 5Ks, and then it turned into some 10Ks and then half marathons. And then maybe 10 years ago, I ran a full, and that's the only one I've done. I haven't run another one since, but yeah, just, I don't know. I don't know if I'd get burned out or what would happen, but I mean, it was just, I would just kind of stop. And then, you know, I feel like I'd maybe pack on some weight. Yeah. All right, it's time to start running again, get to the point where I could run double digit miles at a time. And then it would just fall off. Yeah. I don't really have a good explanation for it. So
interesting.
Yeah. But it was funny with the, with those two back-to-back posts. So Baby Shark was on the queue at Mount O, and then, and me having no understanding of what's going on. Then I show up to the Sandlot and Baby Shark was site queue, but also queuing. And so I'm like, oh, this guy must be really
this
important.
He just, charge.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, as soon as, you know, came to find out, it's just, you know, coincidental.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, who's this guy?
That is funny. Yeah. This guy leads it all.
Right. Yeah.
It is. That is funny too. Cause you like, and by design, right. That like, as a new guy, you shouldn't really need to know who's like, who's behind the curtain making everything happen. But mm-hmm. it is kind of funny if the same guy was leading multiple in a row.
Yeah.
What, so you hit the ground running, right? It sounds like 2 days in a row. Did you keep going? Like, were you there? Did you go to the farm Friday or what?
I'm trying to remember if I did. I felt like I jumped in pretty quick, you know, going maybe 3-4 days a week. Mm. And then, mostly sticking around in Sarpy. At the time, I was, you know, I was the only guy I really knew well, or the person I knew the best was my brother-in-law, and he lived in Millard. So Mission Forge was pretty regular for me on Mondays, probably my first 6 months, just because that was like his backyard.
Yep.
So I'd get out to Millard on Mondays and then stick to Sarpy the rest of the week, but probably 3-4 days a week. And you know, over the course of time, it ramped up, and now I've, you know, kind of actually dialed it back down to 3-4 days a week. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. How do you find that balance? Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I was starting F3, we didn't have, you know, 6 days a week, but as soon as we did, I was a 6 day a week guy.
Yeah.
And then just over time, right, we've added more kids and just life comes at you fast. And so I'm now about 3 days a week. And that seems to be a good balance. Do you do anything on your days off or for your non F3 days?
Sometimes I will. I might run on my own, or my wife and I will walk after dinner, something like that. So, but nothing crazy. Not like an F3 workout.
Yeah.
But I always tell myself I'm gonna start hitting weights because you know all the research shows that, you know, guys our age should, or at least my age, should do that. And I just, you know, haven't really had the discipline to do it. So it's so, you know, once you get into F3 and find all this camaraderie and motivation to get out, working out by yourself becomes, it's difficult.
It's a drag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do weights on my non F3 days, but I've also started just walking. We've got a 10-month-old. And so I put her in the front backpack and go walk with her. And I will say the walking has been more of a spiritual thing than anything else.
Okay.
And the lifting on my own is terrible. It's lonely. It's exactly what Free Delete talks about, right?
Yeah.
It's lonely. It's not fun. And I don't push myself as well, but have you ever made it out to like Steel Mill? Has that ever been a spot that you?
Yeah. So actually after that first post with Sandlot, it kind of scared me off for a month or two. And so instead of going to Sandlot, I'd go to the Steel Mill.
Okay.
And that was just perfect for me at the time. Yeah. And a few guys have talked about, I know, my gosh, Sweet Roll, when you had him on, he talked a little bit about like the love run that they had. And that was really a great kind of sounding board for me to get back into running. It was guys that want to do a little less distance, a little slower pace. Yeah. So you know, run 2.14 miles, Steel Mill. And that's still going strong. It's a nice little option in Sarpy.
Heck yeah. Well, hopefully Sweet Roll's listening. He knows
that.
That was sort of his idea, right? And I think it's worked for a lot of guys. I can't remember if it was his idea or who else came up with it. I think it was...
I feel like it was his, or I'm going to go and give him the credit.
I love it. Well, thinking about the first F, I guess my question for you would be like, where are you at today? Like when you think about your goals, or like what sort of improvements have you made? And I guess where are you headed? Are you a runner now? Are you back into that?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like if I'm going to post, I'm going to pre-run.
Okay.
If I don't wake up for the pre-run, then I really don't go. Nope. So I was probably in the best shape last year. Just doing a lot more running.
Yeah.
I'm still so much better than I think I came into F3 probably when I was probably about 210, and now I'm sitting around 185. So,
wow.
So that was, and that was just moving.
Yeah.
And, I'm wrestling around with the idea of trying to, we've got so many Sarpy guys right now that are doing, got like Busser and Tweedy. I feel like there's a third one training for this ultra. You know, it's just super inspiring.
Like a 50 miler?
Yeah, or maybe it's a 50K. I think it's a 50K they're training for.
Okay.
So, I was like, gosh, that sounds cool. Like, should I kind of get into that? But it's a huge commitment. And, they're getting up at just so crazy in the morning to get those miles in before commitments they have the rest of the day. So I'm like, I want to do this. Pretty happy with where I am fitness wise right now.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you lost like 30 pounds over 30 pounds. I mean, that's
25, 30 pounds over 3 years. So
yeah, that's phenomenal. I just think, like you said, just the ability to get out and move, and then the push, right. Mm-hmm. From the guys out there. I mean, mm-hmm. And just keeping you engaged, I would be curious as you think about, like you avoided going back to Sandlot, and now you're like, I don't even go unless I'm going to pre-run.
Right.
How did you make that jump? Because I think for a lot of guys, they see the pre-runners, like you mentioned.
Sure.
And they're like, I don't ever want to do that. But then at some point that changes. What is that like?
Well, I knew that I wanted to get back into running. I think it was just, I remember that first Sandlot post, and getting a little off topic here, but I've told this story a couple times at Sarpy, but this is kind of where I knew, I think like F3 was kind of a special thing. So I took off with Shroot because this is our first time posting together. And it's just an out and back up Lincoln heading west. And Shroot and I are running, sub 8, which for me was just way too fast at the time. And we're turning around to come back, and we're maybe 2.5-3 miles in. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I have to walk.
Yeah.
I have to walk. And so Chernobyl stopped and was like, hey, you doing all right? I'm like, I'm fine. I just walk. Like, well, I'm going to come back and get you. So,
yeah.
So Chernobyl came back and, was talking to me enough so that I think I was just forgetting how miserable I was. So at that point I kind of knew it was something special, but one of the things I noticed when I was posting was that these guys that were pre-running, they're having conversations that were continuing into the beatdown, and you kind of see, just the camaraderie that was existing during the pre-runs. And so in addition to wanting to get back into running shape, opportunity, put myself out there to get to know guys a little bit better.
Yeah.
And it helped with, posting with Shroot, and I knew Shroot from work and generally if he pre-running. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got into it. And then it just, it's just one of those things now where it's like, well, if I'm not going to pre-run, I just get more sleep.
It is funny how that works. Like, I'm the same way. Like, I'm like, and now what's really bad is I'm like, where can I go that I'll get a longer pre-run in?
Right? Yeah.
Just that sort of addictive behavior of like, I want more, right? Cause I'm only posting 3 days a week. And then if I'm on my non-F3 days, if I'm not getting out to run, I'd like to get 20 miles a week if I can. And that's, I've been slacking on that. But, as you think about, just new guys coming in, what have you seen there, or any thoughts on like how we better introduce guys to the fitness aspect that we're trying to do in F3? Cause I think some guys come in and depending on when and how they enter the group, they still kind of leave thinking like, it's more than I can handle. I may not come back, but what made you come back again, even after the coupon workout, which I'm still baffled at that.
Yeah. It just felt like, for guys who have been in sports or maybe been in like a fraternity in college or maybe some kind of club, it just has that, that vibe, that kind of team mentality. Everyone there to not only get better, but to help other people get better. And that just, I think was evident to work. Hey, you got this. Good job. And guys do a really good job. I, at least in Sarpy, and I'm sure it's universal overall at F3 Omaha. Just, you know, when you have a new guy, even if they're on an FNG, but a newer PAX, there's always somebody working out with them, you know? Yeah. And guys that are intentional about not only like picking up six, but like staying with the six, yeah. which I think is huge. So, that would be, I think a piece of advice to was sure that you continue to do that. Yeah. Cause I think that almost more than anything is coming up.
For sure. Yeah. Follow the blueprint. Right. I mean, that picking up the six and like you kind of mentioned is such a unique thing, right? Like,
yeah.
I've never been at the gym and had somebody come over and try to help me, maybe spot me. I don't know.
Right.
But that's always maybe more of like a slight flex. Like, let me spot you because yeah. you can't lift what you're trying to lift. But, well, talk us through, and I would be curious, like, was some of the, well, let me ask you a different way. Was there anything going on in life other than the fitness piece that sort of got you to the point where you're like, yeah, I'm going to go, this group? And kind of where I'm going there is like that fellowship side. How were your relationships before?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with, you don't kind of, you know, there's that phrase like, don't know what you had until you lost it. Mm. Like it, for me, it's almost like I didn't realize what I didn't have until I had it.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's like, you're kind of going through life, you know, you're especially when you're maybe in your late 30s, which I was when I joined, you know, you're career focused, you've got young kids, and that kind of consumes your life and forget about the importance of friendship and fellowship and all that. And so just, that was something that I think I just quickly latched onto and was encouraged by and wanted more of when I first started, to the point where it was actually, and I think other people have talked about this too, to the point where it was actually affecting things at home. You know, F3 kind of becomes almost this like second relationship for you. And it's interesting how F3's evolved with, like in my marriage, like at first I was just all in. I was just, you know, kind of addicted to it. Right.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, at the time our kids were probably going to bed at like 8:30 at night and I would just be like right behind them.
Yeah.
Like I got to wake up in the morning, you know, but that was our time for my wife and I to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she had made the comment, you know, that it was with me choosing to kind of go to bed and that I would be, have enough sleep to get up in the morning, you know, I was prioritizing that over her. And she was 100% right. And one of the neat things about F3 too was, I think I was queuing at the Sandlot and I was running with Busser and I told him that exact story. And, you know, I think a lot of times, like if you're talking to a buddy, maybe from school or college, like they would totally just take your side, right?
Right.
Just be like, oh, that's crazy. You're just trying to get better. You know, and Buster's like, that's good. She checked you. Yeah. You need a prior, you know, just called me out. And even though I'd kind of come to peace with that and it was funny. And then I talked about that in my COT at that same beatdown and probably had 10 guys come up to me afterwards, like, dude, same story.
Yeah.
Like we've all kind of been through it. And it's funny how it's evolved now because my wife sort of developed her own routine where, you know, I get home, you know, 6:30, 6:45 from coffee and she's, you know, she wakes up at 6, makes her coffee, kind of has her own time to herself to just, you know, watch the news, scroll her phone, read a book, whatever she wants to do before the kids get up. The point now where like if I fart sack and I don't work out, you know, she's,
You're
screwing up my morning, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, would you go work out? You're going to work out tomorrow, right?
Yeah,
so that's awesome. Funny how it's changed. Yeah.
I love it. It is. And I think that's one of those things, you know, we've got to be careful of, right? As we're, because there's so many activities all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And I think for new guys, they come in and they think, well, everybody must do all the things.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's like, if I want to be a part of the group. But, I'll never forget, you know, one of my favorite Redwoods, I don't know if you ever have met Reba, but he just for years was a Saturday guy because that's what worked for him and his family. And I just really loved that he he wasn't letting the number of times per week that he could post impact how he felt connected to the group. And he never has. I think even still, right, you don't see him around on the weekdays, but I would just love, hopefully more guys understand that. Like, if you can only come out one day a week because of family stuff, still come out. Like, we still want to see you, you know, but it's like each of us has to do this in our families. And that sounds like a conversation I know I've had at my my house. Every time we have a new kid, hopefully we're done now. But every time we have another kid, there's sort of like this renegotiation of how many posts per week.
Sure.
You know, and we're at three kids and three posts per week. I'm really lobbying for four.
Yeah.
I don't know that she'll let me. But well, talk me through, because so you knew Shrewd.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, early on met Baby Shark and Chernobyl, some of those guys. But how did you go about building relationships? Was it kind of the standard coffee and pre-runs, or what was your experience?
Yeah, it was mostly the pre-runs for a while. I don't know why I had the time. I just wasn't going to coffee for probably the first couple months. I'm naturally just generally kind of an introverted person until I get to know somebody. And so I think the idea of just like sitting down, you know, where conversation is the main focus, it's not the workout, it's just a little I just wasn't going to coffee. So it was mostly the pre-running, which I had this other motivation of just getting fit, so that's kind of why I was doing that. But now I can make coffee. It's funny how, but I think, and I know it's been talked about on a lot of these episodes, pre-running is really where I think kind of or the relationships get formed. You know, you have the opportunity to chit chat with somebody, and generally the part of the most.
Yeah. What about the guy that says, I can't talk and run at the same time? What advice would you give?
Well, I've been that guy, so I believe him, you know? So you just, you know, pair up with somebody who is happy with just talking.
Whatever pace you,
right.
Or you just become a really good listener.
Yeah, right.
I've been working on listening, but I know there were a few guys early on that would like, I'll just run with Plague because he'll talk the whole time. And you know, I think it is key finding guys that will run at your pace. And I think that's the other cool thing I've noticed is even with injuries and things over the years, like all you have to do is let somebody know, hey, I can't run the normal, you know, sub 8 pace today or whatever. And I've never had a scenario where the guys are just like, okay, well, screw you, see you later.
Right.
Like, there's always somebody that's like, I'll run with you at whatever pace.
Mostly. Yeah.
I would be curious as you think about, and you kind of mentioned this, and I love just the tie-in with family, but Shield Lock, mentoring, Whetstone relationships, any of that other kind of second F stuff that you've had a chance to get in with on
your journey? Yeah. So, I think I'm the last person from our Shield Lock to be on here. And it's kind of and it's been referenced kind of a Shield Lock light, which is probably appropriate, but with Low Flow, Farba, Shroot, Razzle Dazzle, Animal House.
Okay.
So, you know, it started off, you know, pretty active, where we were even trying to find time to kind of our own workouts, and we're trying to find time to do lunch. But, you know, when you have six guys with family and kids, it becomes a challenge. So now it's, you know, it's really more of just kind of like an active group text, but you know, we still, it's a great place to celebrate each other, celebrate, you know, things that we have going on in our families. If that one of us is struggling with, kind of safe space to put it out there.
Yeah.
But it was also really good going back to the, I mean, it's great for second F. It was really good for my first F at the time when I was getting into it. I mean, got Farva and Low Flow, especially at the time. I mean, crazy. Kind of the birth of the Missy Elliott run, you know, get there, you know, an hour early, run the pre-run backwards and then run it, you know. And so that was a lot of fun and saw my fitness really take a jump. But I was like, at some point, I was like, I got to sleep, you know. Yep. So I still, every now and then, will text Farva, like, hey, half marathon Sandlot tomorrow. And I know he's always game if his schedule will allow it. So that's been really great. As far as mentorship, you know, regrettably, I become kind of closer to Firewalker. So
There
was actually, I had reached out to him. There was a work thing I was struggling with and the personnel thing. I have to let a guy go, which I didn't have a lot of experience with. And Firewalker, work is kind of that coaching sort of field. And so I shot him a text and told him I was kind of struggling. Hey, let's call him, talk about it. So he kind of helped me walk me through. And it was a lot of just sort of validating that I was kind of doing the right thing. So I was sort of naturally a people pleaser. So having to fire somebody was a difficult task. So, I don't want to give Firewalker credit. I have leaned on him for a couple of things. So
And I'm sure I've said this before, but Firewalker's one of the OG members of this men's Bible study I was in before F3. It was like Tonight Show, Firewalker, Grills, Sister Act, Schnitzel, and I think I'm probably forgetting somebody, and then myself. Mm-hmm. And so one of the cool things Firewalker did for me was this values exercise. He had me take this test, and it was right when I was getting clean, right? And so he says, well, Plague, it looks like based on this test here, you're kind of an impulsive person. And I was like, well, I'm a recovering addict. So I think that tracks. But then we did this values exercise. And he definitely has a skill for walking you through that. I know we won't give him too much credit.
But, yeah.
He impacted me enough that I made some YouTube video about the values exercise, because I just had never had values before that I could define. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious, as you think about, just values for you, for your family, what, where does that land for you? You've got those defined, or you know what your kind of mission is as a family, as a man?
I don't know if I've ever sat down and had it defined. A lot of it, when we talk about, raising our kids, our kids, good people, good citizens, good people. And it's interesting, school is really important to me. And sometimes I think I might push a little hard. My wife has to remind me, kind of reel me in on a little bit on that, which I appreciate, because I go far, but I was somebody who I don't feel like probably applied myself as well as I could have in school.
Yeah.
And as a result, work harder later in life to get to what I wanted. So, it's kind of simple, but trying to raise our kids, good, considerate human beings.
Yeah. So, that goes a long way.
Yeah.
And there's so much, so many little things. I was at a workout I was at this morning out at the berm, and was reminded from the COT there, right? It truly is like just a series of little things, right? Your kids are learning from you every second of every day, right? So the things you're consistent in, I think it was essentially like, be consistent. Don't just be like intense, right?
Yeah.
Like if, those intense moments can be impactful, but it's more the like consistent things that you do. So I love that. I have a terrible habit of overcomplicating things. So simplicity is definitely valuable. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
What, anything else, I guess hearing you say you're introverted, it kind of makes me curious. Like, is there anything you had to overcome in the group as you were trying to maybe be more vulnerable or like, I don't know, just thinking through like how you overcame that. Sometimes I hear a lot of guys say, well, I'm normally more introverted, which I imagine you get next to a guy like me who won't shut up. How'd you overcome that?
It's hard to put a finger on it. It's just what F3 is, at least in Omaha, just so inviting and encouraging, be able to open up and open up about things might not in other space outside of your own house, and witness guys do it, and it gives you to eventually kind of do that yourself. I don't know what that special sauce is that F3 has, but it has it. So I just, for whatever reason, and it's still like that, for me, I'm just generally a lot quieter than any other space usually, that F3 just feel comfortable sort of being myself.
It's just the culture maybe that we built. Well, in, you know, a lot of this too, I think there is a spiritual component, right? As you see guys kind of come in and just morph, and then, you know, you see a guy get to that point where they've been unlocked, you know, sort of the terminology that I think I've heard used, and he just, like, all of a sudden the guy's posting all the time, he's showing up to workouts, he's talking about leading his family, and, you know, it's just like this coolest thing that we get to give away. But talk us through your faith journey. What was that like for you? And I don't know if you would take us back, would be curious, like, what was that like growing up, and then where you at today?
Yeah. So I grew up in a going to a Methodist church. Okay. And we were pretty regular, at least Sunday school attendees, sometimes go to church there. And didn't really, you know, in college would, you know, like at the holidays, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, once my wife and I got married, we were originally pretty intentional about trying to find like a church home. Mm-hmm. We had our kids enrolled in a church daycare right down the street from our house, which mm-hmm. was, I think, great for helping build kind of some of those foundational values that we were talking about, treating other people, to being a good person. But
yeah.
So we had gone to a service or two at a Methodist church in Billion, and it just didn't feel, it just didn't click.
Yeah.
And then my cousin was going to a Presbyterian church in Bellevue. And so then we went to that. Well, this doesn't really feel like home either. And then we just kind of stopped. So, mm-hmm. and so I'm not somebody who, it's interesting because I'm not somebody who's active in church at all, but the more I've gone to F3, the more I kind of sort of enjoy the prayer component at the end,
yeah.
you know, just being thoughtful in that moment about thinking about other people,
mm-hmm.
What they might be.
Yeah. I it's interesting because that journey, it's so different for each guy, but F3 is like this space where like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no judgment there. And
yeah.
it's just, I love that. I haven't found that anywhere else other than, you know, 12-step program, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I forgot to ask you, how many kids do you have?
I have two. I have a 15-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter.
Okay. Have they been out to any of the 2.0 stuff? Or
a couple. They went to, when they were younger, when I first started, there was a Halloween beat down at Halleck Park. And then most recently, they went to we had a Father's Day beat down that was part of like the Pillion Days schedule. Oh, yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. They went to the Halloween beat down and they're like a bunch of old guys in costumes.
Yeah.
Never coming
yeah.
back.
You know, but I mean, you know, you could bribe them at that time with like donuts and things like
yeah.
that.
It's gonna
there's going to be candy. It's going to be donuts.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, I kind of told them, hey, it would mean a lot to me if you, you know, came to this.
Yeah.
Thing. And, you know, kind enough to
they get
come
it.
With minimal. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking that detour back. I was just
yeah.
thinking like, okay, so, but in terms of the faith piece, I would be curious, do you like between COTs and the conversation and the prayers at the end, has that like, do you think you will get back to searching for a church, or what's sort of next for you on that journey? Or you feel like you're at a good spot?
I think I'm in a good spot. You know, I just, you know, trying to find a church just isn't something like I feel like I need right now.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard the term like, you know, F3 is my church. And,
yeah.
And I don't know if I'd go that far, but, you know, just being able to listen to the messages in the morning, have an opportunity to pray with the other guys as we're leaving the day or go to coffee right now is just, that's put me in a good spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You feel like you still have some concept of a higher power and
oh,
like,
sure.
in terms of the corporate religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where a lot of guys are at. It's funny. It's not funny, but it's just the reality, right? Is I hear a lot of guys that are in that space and for whatever reason, right? They've either searched or they were burned by the church in one way, shape mm-hmm. or form, but they're in this spot where they're still feeling connected to whatever it is that's, you know, in charge of the universe. And
yeah.
I would be curious as you think about that third F piece, like Q Source or maybe like, you know, Truth Nugget Thursday or free to lead book studies. Mm-hmm. Have you done any of that stuff to kind of deepen your spiritual side?
Yeah. So, I read Free to Lead probably 6 months in.
Mm.
It took me a while to finish it. I borrowed Fun Dip's copy and it forever to get it back
yeah.
to him. But, But no, I've gone to Q Source, had the opportunity to lead it a few times. Yeah. In fact, the first time I led Q Source, I had won the queue at Paradise.
Yeah.
And at the time, Retweet was the site queue and said, "Hey, you know, I'd love to get on the queue schedule." And he's like, "Okay, yeah, that's no problem. You're going to lead Q Source, right?" But it was texted in a way like, "You're leading Q Source. Like, yeah, you're going to queue, you're leading Q Source." So, and then he had passed the flag to Tightlip, and I don't even remember what the discussion topic was, but I remember really taking the time to dive into it because I didn't want to screw this up, right?
Yeah.
It was a small group, Tightlip, Dirty Bird, and there might have been one other guy there. And so, but they were great. You know, I was like, "Hey, you know, the first timer here, take it easy on me."
Yeah.
And then I've had the opportunity to lead at the pit a few times.
Yeah.
So it's always great discussion. Sometimes it's really focused. Sometimes it goes off the rails, but in a good way, you know?
Yeah.
So if the weekends are challenging during sports seasons, but if I get the opportunity to post on a Saturday, Q-Source, definitely something I look forward to.
Yeah. What, so you read Free to Lead. What did you think of that? Or what did you identify with most from that book?
Boy, it's been so long. And gosh, I don't know, you know, really just kind of the part I love the most about F3 really is the concept. It's like, guys, I picked up the six.
Yeah.
And so, always try to be really intentional about that when I work out, especially when I was site queue.
Yeah.
So we had newer guys. So, that was probably the biggest takeaway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been years since I've read it kind of cover to cover, but we were doing a book study yesterday. There's some really funny examples in there of like guys, when a guy complains about their nickname, they often get a worse name.
Right.
And so they talk about Crotch Rocket.
Right.
All abbreviated as AC. But
yeah,
there's some really, really great stories in there. And the essays were not originally part of the first version. And so those are always fun. So if you get a chance to get back in there and read it, I may have a copy in the truck. I can give you a new copy. But, you know, it's so cool to just have each guy, right, has their own story. And it's truly that's the whole reason that we like to do this podcast is because there's so much to learn from one another. As you think about this journey and just your life, I would be curious, like, what do you feel like makes you, or what are some of those maybe events or lessons in life that you feel like have really made you into the man you are today? Anything there for you?
Oh boy, that's a deep question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, the nice thing about F3 is you think this isn't totally going to answer the question. Sometimes you think that your problems are, special, or you're alone in some of the challenges you're facing, whether it's stuff with your family or stuff at work, and get out and talk to some guys, and we're all dealing with a lot of the same things, you know. Mm-hmm. And it provides some sense of support, validation about how you're feeling. Just being able to get some advice and guidance on how to handle it. So, I already forgot what your original question was. Like,
no, you're good. You're good. You know, just kind of thinking deeper, like, what is there anything you feel like you've been through that really shaped you? You know, would kind of be my question.
No, I mean, I've been pretty fortunate to, you know, not have, you know, had a relatively trauma kind of free life.
Yeah.
You know,
what's your secret?
Yeah, I know, right? you know, I'm blessed to, you know, have a super supportive wife and healthy kids. You know, but my wife's been a real big part of kind of my, sort of acceleration with F3, mm-hmm. You know, even in those first few months where, you know, maybe she was a little frustrated, and understandably so, because, you know, my phone's going off my alarm. I'm stumbling around trying to find clothes. And now it's like, got the alarm on my watch and set the outfit out the night before, you know, but she could see, the difference it was making, that I was just, a happier human being coming home. And Jill, you know, if I get into a funk or something where, you know, maybe I don't post for 4 or 5 days, it'll be, you know, kind of grumpy.
You need to get out there.
Yeah. And I love that about her, that, you know, she's, you know, she'll let me know those things. Yeah. So, you know, just F3 has been, you know, when you talk about events and this isn't really the answer to your question, but it's just, it's really helped brighten my life and kind of shape who I am now. I feel like I'm a, you know, still have my faults and still have constant work to do, but, you know, I feel like I'm a better husband at home, better father to my kids, better leader at work. I think that's the experience for most guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you were saying before, I mean, I think, you know, and not just advice from a guy, but even if a guy hasn't solved the problem, but just says like, I struggle with that too.
Mm-hmm.
It just, for whatever reason, especially for me, like my mind can convince me easily that like, I'm the only one that has this problem.
Right.
You know, so it's like to having that conversation and just hearing another guy. I remember when our first, maybe it was our second daughter or whatever, we were having some issues. And I remember talking to Cataracts, who's got 9 kids, right? Mm-hmm. Who I'm thinking like, if anybody solved the parenting dilemma, it's a guy with 9 kids. And I just remember him saying, yeah, we can't figure that out either. And I just remember this weight lifted of like, oh, like I'm not alone. I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And this too shall pass kind of deal, right? Yeah. Like this is a season. And so just to me, like that's super helpful. Guys can do that.
What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax. It's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullenparty uses the Solea laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check him out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members.
Well, obviously, our mission, right, in F3, invigorate male community leadership, or reinvigorate, depending on where you're reading it at. But and we do that with VQs and being a site queue and all of that stuff, giving you leadership opportunities. What was your experience in that leadership space?
I loved being a site queue. It was just so much fun. You know, when Double Dip had asked me to take over, and you know, it's where my son goes to high school, and one of the neat things about Sanitarium, for whatever reason, maybe because it was the first Tuesday site, maybe it's the 5:30 start,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of centrally located. I mean, it's a site where it seems like whether it's their FNG post or not, it's just a place where and the like newer packs sort of gravitate to Sarpy. Like that kind of becomes a spot. And so just getting to support those guys as they start their kind of fitness journey and the other refs as well was something I probably enjoyed the most. So I really tried to be intentional about hanging back with the guys, making sure that they were feeling welcomed, and had a whole bunch of VQs, especially the first 6 months, which was a ton of fun. EQ, though, I mean, it's usually a good workout, but it's kind of more of a party, right? You know, it's kind of, you know, almost more of a social event. That's why the guys show up. One of the things that was important to me, so I was posting fairly regularly at Sanitarium where I got the flag, was, you know, you'd get 20, 25 guys out on, you know, any random Tuesday at cafeteria at Starbucks, and and so I'm like, cafeteria here, no, disappointing.
So
I brought coffee on site, and that seemed to help things, and that's popular, where, you know, out of 20 guys, now 15 sticking around for coffee. So when I'd had to, you know, before I'd passed the flag to Ogre, I said, you know, hey, lead any way you want. but if you take coffee back off site, you're probably gonna get back. And if you follow the sanitarium Twitter account at all, I mean, he's taken the coffee the two new levels. Sarpy County's best brew, and you know, he's a good site.
There is something to be said about on-site coffee, because you just eliminate excuses.
And I
don't know if you've been there, but I've totally been in the spot where I'm like, I can go to coffee. Then you get in your car and you're sitting at the stoplight and you're like, I'm just gonna go home. You know, like for whatever reason, like, it just is like, I'm in my car and you know, and I can maybe get home and help get the kids ready for school, whatever it might be. And so the on-site coffee, that was a great move. Was it hard to make the coffee? Or I've never been a site queue that had to do on-site coffee, but I imagine it, you lose some sleep, or I don't know.
Yeah, it was. So I got some advice from, so Low Flow had taken the flag at the Catamount Complex a few months before me. And he brought coffee on site there too, because I think coffee was pretty non-existent for that. Yeah, and then I think I talked to KOA a little bit, because I had started, I was getting up, you know, an hour before I needed to brew coffee in the morning. And Low Flow is like, you're doing it all wrong. Like, you know, brew it the night before, kind of prime your thermos with, you know, boiling water, and pour your coffee in. Okay. It'll stay hot all night.
Yeah.
And so that's generally what I did, and it worked out great. Now, there were some nights where it's like, you know, it's Monday night, I'm like slipping to bed and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta
make the coffee.
So that, you know, but it all paid off, you know, when you'd have 15 guys stick around for coffee. It always felt good and happy to.
It's such a benefit. And I think then you get to stick around, right? And then more guys get that fellowship piece, and more guys then maybe start to go to coffee at other sites, right? And they realize, you know, for whatever reason, I early on, I felt like, well, now I'm up early. If I go send an extra email or log into work, I don't know what I really thought I was going to gain, but you do sort of feel like, well, I got other things to do, right? And I can have coffee at home. But once you experience it, so you open the door for a lot of guys, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You mentioned Ogre a little bit. Talk us through, like, what else went into that succession planning.
Sure. So I passed the flag in November. So, you know, in the summer of last year, you know, started thinking about it, and the sanitarium has, you know, a long list of regulars, and so it's like, boy.
Yeah.
And I remember Ogre's VQ, and that was shortly after I took the flag. And I just remember it being like, you could see his leadership and kind of coaching acumen come out. Like, it was just really well executed. And then he had started this, it's still going strong at the Sandlot Steel Mill, called it the Trot, and starts at 4:30. But for those guys that you want to get in a little bit more mileage at a little slower pace.
Yeah.
And they even for a while had, I don't know if that this is still going, but they would on the Sarpy WhatsApp channel the day before, like, broadcast the discussion topic. They'd call it T Source, you know.
That was usually something
lighthearted, you know, but you know, it, really, really great leadership, right? Good communication. Yeah. And so he was somebody that I identified pretty quickly that do a really good job of taking over the site. So he and I had lunch and basically told them all those same things. Great strengths for you, and site would be good hands. And and then you know, told them about the coffee. Like, you can have my stuff, you know, please keep going. But if you don't, you know, you lead the way you want to lead. Yeah. But again, he's taking that to a new level. But yeah, just a great leader. He's one of those guys too. You know, there's a handful of guys in the gloom where when you show up and they're also at the workout, you're like, this is going to be fun.
It's going to
be fun. He's incredibly funny. Just a great guy to talk to. And I knew that having him there was going to just draw guys even more to the 20. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Super cool. It's so cool too. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about in the Whetstone is like, how does a guy figure out what the heck he's good at? You know, if we're all trying to figure that out so I can live my purpose and whatever. And a lot of times that's from other people, right? Mm-hmm. So taking time to have that lunch and call out some of those strengths. I love that. I think sometimes we're trying so hard to like find a guy who's willing to take a flag. It's not always as intentional or, you know, thought out as that. I think we would like it to be, but just for whatever reason, sometimes it doesn't end up that way. So hopefully guys hear that as maybe a lesson learned or a best practice. I think, you know, taking somebody out to lunch and just calling out, hey man, I see these strengths. Top notch.
To be fair, I think I invited him out to lunch, but I think he paid for it. No, I know he paid for it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Yeah.
Oh, that's even
so
better.
It worked out really nice.
Yeah, he took the flag and bought you lunch. Oh, yeah. Love it. What do you feel like you've been able to translate any leadership stuff from F3 into your day-to-day, maybe home or work life, and like from a leadership perspective?
Yeah. You know, I mean, F3 does such a good job of talking about the Concentrica, right? Mm-hmm. And there's times where I still... have to remind myself of what the priorities are. So, but, you know, I feel like since, you know, my wife and I have always had a strong marriage, but I think the last few years have, be interesting to see what she says, but I feel like I've been a better listener. I think I've been a lot better with my kids. I used to be very kind of intense, kind of like, just quick to yelling, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I'd get frustrated and F3 and my wife helped me with that as I, you know, kid. So, talking, you know, F3 has been really great for that. As far as, you know, leadership, you know, there's generally just great message every morning. Yeah. Right. And so, mm-hmm. so being able to leave that morning with that kind of fresh in your brain.
Yeah.
Work is just, it's almost like cheat code, right?
It's so huge. Yeah. I love it. And I would say too, I mean, to your point, like the number of things that just like little nuggets that you're taking from COTs on a regular basis, right? That are just helpful reminders. And not to mention right here, and I'm always amazed when you hear, you'll be going through something and then you hear somebody else throw out a prayer request and you just sort of get slapped in the face with like, oh man, the thing I was complaining about is not a big deal. You know,
yes.
Like some of these guys that are going through family members or like kids or spouses with cancer, or, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think just the number of things, right, that people are going through just reminds you like how good you
are. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
So you handed off the flag in November.
Mm-hmm.
It's now August, mm-hmm. not quite a year later.
Yeah. But
what have you been up to now? Has it been hard to get back out there and post since you handed the flag? What are you going to do next? Anything on that roadmap for you?
There was, you know,
going after KOA's job. I heard.
I'm good on that. I don't think I've really like had any kind of sometimes you hear about this sort of F3 burnout a little bit. I haven't experienced that too much. It is nice. I did miss carrying the flag initially until you get that, like, you know, 0-degree day on a Tuesday and you're like, oh, thank goodness I don't have to go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This is a good day to stay in.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah.
No, it's been good. I'm still trying to, get, you know, just again, playing around with the idea of trying to challenge myself with some of this running stuff.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to do, spring of last year, do the Mortimer 100 with I think we're 4 of us, and that was just such a cool experience.
Yeah.
So gotta you know, get to know a bunch of Sarpy guys a lot better that went, as well as, you know, a bunch of Douglas County guys that never really talked to
before. I think Armando was up there.
Yep,
right?
Armando was there. So they had set it up where we had two teams where, you know, they had the team of the veterans, the guys who had done it before, and then I think there were 7 of us, you know, all of us newbies.
Yeah.
And then they would pair us up and we would run together. Nice. So, so that was nice. Yeah. But that was kind of the last real kind of like event I did, you
True.
Know?
Yeah.
And so just trying to find something like that again. I think the Mortimer is now done after all the flooding that took place there. And so there's still a group chat that goes around. I know, you know, Red Ranger is kind of itching to find, you know, something similar to it. So,
you know, I did catch wind. So, Patty Mayo is mm-hmm. leading Halfway House in October mm-hmm. and it's his 50th birthday. So I think he's trying to get guys to do some sort of 50. I don't know if it's a 50K, 50
miler,
But that might be something I'll have him start reaching out to guys. He mentioned it to me the other day, and I was like, I can help find guys, but I'm not running a 50 miler or 50K, at least not yet. I haven't had time to train for
that. Well, yeah, I was just chatting. It was funny on the pre-run this morning at Cottonwood Club launch.
Yeah.
And how I, a lot of my social media feed, for whatever reason, has been, you know, a lot of the ultras, these 50Ks, and uh-huh. this looks so cool. And then like, then I'm a mile and a half into the pre-run. I'm like, sounds a little less interesting right now.
yeah. And you hear David Goggins and all these guys talking about it, right? And I don't know. I don't think I've ever actually done a full marathon. Uh-huh. That might be where I would go next, right? It's like, okay, I can do a half. I feel pretty good about that, but let's see if I can do the full. But we'll see. Maybe we'll have to get on that journey. It is interesting because I do think, as seasons change and as things happen, like having like, what's the thing, you know, that I'm kind of shooting for, or, you know, even like, I notice like, I'll just kind of randomly start a 75 hard just to like, you know, there's pieces of that, obviously, that I don't need 75 hard to keep me from drinking alcohol, but, just to have like a daily check, you know, hey, I'm hitting the mark, I'm achieving something. Mm-hmm. It does really add some benefit there. It keeps you going, but
yeah.
What else? Anything else as you think about lessons learned, advice for guys, anything else with F3 or just life in general that you would want to get off your chest to guys that are listening?
Just as far as advice, just giving guys the courage to be vulnerable if they're going through something. Mm-hmm. And you know, we already talked about how F3 provides a great floor to do that.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, the moment you bring up the thing that you're going through, probably guys in that group that you're speaking to that have gone through the exact thing, and you're going to kind of get that support. And then the other thing, you know, we already talked about that I just think it's so important what we do is just, you know, keep six, you know, keep encouraging guys, accelerate.
Heck yeah. I love it. Well, thanks for taking your time to just
absolutely.
Come. It's good to see you in the studio. And I think I would just encourage guys, you know, get to know you, right? If they haven't had a chance to, this has been great. And I think, just your story is so relatable. I think there's so many guys that have gone through life similarly to the way that you have. And F3 has definitely been something that you found value in. And so hopefully we can just keep giving this thing away, right?
Yeah.
Let's we'll do a little Nemo to wrap us up. Brandon Fleaherty, 39, The Plague.
The Plague.
Ah!
Jake Burst, 42, Boss Hog.
Boss Hog. And is it, what's the...
They usually yell, go get them Duke boys.
Go get them Duke boys.
Because, yeah.
Okay. See, yeah. I'll have to watch Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a little bit before my time. So, I had no frame of reference for what was going. It took me a minute to get it.
Go get them Duke boys.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll have to, I'll have to watch that movie and have to remember the call sign.
Right.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a good rest of your day.
Yep. You too.
In our chest, we're not defined by the weight of the test. Brothers in step, we carry the flame. Different roads, but the heartbeat's the same. Every man's got a story to tell. From the valley low to the mountaintop, yell. Every man's got a story inside. Standing strong, we won't hide. Every man, every man's got a story. We've been broken, we've been bruised, but we rise again and we don't get to choose. Through the fire, through the fight, every man's story burns in the night. Scars on our hands, hope in our chest, we're not defined by the weight of the test. Brothers in step, we carry the flame. Different roads, but the heartbeat's the same. On a story to tell, from the valley low to the mountaintop, yell. Every man's got a story inside. Different roads, but the heartbeat's the same. Every man's got a story to tell. From the valley low to the mountaintop, yell. Every man's got a story inside. Standing strong, we won't hide. Every man, every man's got a story. Every man's got a story. Voices
rise like thunder, they roll. Truth in the pain, it's shaping the soul. Chains may rattle, but they break in time. Every man's story is yours and mine. From the struggle to the glory, every man's got a story. In the dark or in the light, we keep marching through the night. Every man's got a story inside. Every man's got a story to tell. From the valley low to the mountaintop, yeah. Every man to the mountaintop, yeah. Every man's got a story inside. Standing strong, we won't hide.